It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
This is the Leaf Sky Podcast. Here's your host, Jim Taddy.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Mike Ross, for that fine introduction. Welcome to the Leaf Sky, episode number 136. Jim Taddy with you for the next half hour. Terry Koshin from the Toronto Sun will be our guest today. And we're going to go over the state of the Leafs. Before we get going, hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. You can also turn smaller bets into bigger payouts with same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. Here, ladies and gentlemen, is the call to action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game. Get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for complete details. All right, on to the hockey story. And I got a head scratcher here. What the heck are we looking at here with the Toronto Maple Leafs? I don't know. That is the answer. We're going to play Jeopardy with Terry Koshin from the Toronto Sun later on, but I'm going to throw this at you. Here are the regulation wins the Leafs own so far this season. Let's go back to Saturday, October 14, 7-4 over Minnesota. The next regulation win is Tuesday, October 24th in Washington, 4-1. Then Thursday, October 26th in Dallas, 4-1. That's 3. And then we have to go to, I got to turn the page here, Saturday, November 11th, 5-2 against Vancouver. And Friday, November 17th, 3-2 over Detroit in a game in Sweden. Those are the five regulation wins this team owns. I want to go back to another date, and that'll be Friday, November 10th against Calgary. They blew a 4-1 lead, won 5-4 in a shootout, and they followed that up the next night with that win over Vancouver and then the win over Detroit in Sweden. And then since then, an overtime win over Minnesota that was also in Sweden, then an overtime loss to Chicago, a loss outright to Pittsburgh, a shootout win over Florida, a shootout win over Seattle, and an overtime loss to Boston. There's nothing in regulation there other than the Detroit and Vancouver games. This is an odd look, to say the very least. I don't know what I'm looking at here. Is the glass half full or is it half empty? Well, let's play Jeopardy now with Terry Koshin from the Toronto Sun and figure this mess out. Terry, we're going to start this off by playing Jeopardy. The category is things that add up for the Maple Leafs. And the answer is Minnesota, Washington, Dallas, Vancouver, and Detroit. What is the question?
Who have the Leafs beaten in regulation?
You are correct, sir. You go on to the lightning round. It's phenomenal to say in early December, the regulation win total remains at 5. It's shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I guess the other side of that is if that's the only information you had, Jim, someone said, you know, it's here we are, first week of December, the Leafs have just 5 regulation wins. You're probably envisioning a scenario where they're at or near the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings. Well, as we know, that's not the case. You know, in a wild card spot right now. And the positive of this is the Leafs are, you know, getting it done in regulation and or sorry in overtime and shootouts. Like they're 7-3 now beyond overtime or beyond regulation, but it's kind of like almost like a false positive in a way. Like I know that those points are there, Jim, but you know, Sheldon Keefe said to us last week at one point, we're not putting teams away in regulation, but they're not putting us away either. That's certainly a glass half full way of looking at it. But,
yeah,
you know, you figure these things will start to get out of their system, but maybe we're getting deeper into saying this is what the Maple Leafs are and this is what it will be. Like, I don't know if it's every single game. It seems like it's going beyond regulation. That's not going to keep happening. But, you know, for whatever reason, this is a team that can't hold leads when they're behind, can erase deficits. It's all very odd. It doesn't really make a heck of a lot of sense, to be quite honest with you.
It is odd. Their last regulation win was 3-2 over Detroit with a good third period rally in Sweden, and that was Friday, November 17th. Kevin Bieksa on Hockey Night in Canada had an interesting take on Saturday night, saying that, you know, the Leafs are learning how to battle in these close games. And that, I think that's extremely optimistic, and I understand his viewpoint. My attitude on it would be they just don't finish. They create a lot of troubles for themselves, and I know that's the glass half-empty side of things, but, you know, you have to understand there's no shootout in 3-on-3, 5-minute overtime in the playoffs. So maybe they are battling with adversity here, but, boy, it just could be a lot tidier.
Oh, for sure it could be. And, you know, The injuries on the blue line haven't helped, and by that I mean, you know, a guy like Timothy Liljegren, who I think was coming along. You know, I don't know that they've overly missed John Klingberg, Jim, which you kind of hate to say, but it's true. I mean, he wasn't really doing a heck of a lot for them offensively or defensively, so that's not really been an issue. The guys who have come in have been fine, but the Ladjussons and the Benoits of the world, if you want to be a contender or a team getting to the playoffs, they shouldn't be regulars. I know that Benoit was last year at Anaheim, but Ladjusson really hasn't been in the NHL, and, you know, Connor Timmins is getting his first go-around, really, with the type of ice time he's getting as well. So it is thin back there. And just to mention Mark Giordano, too. You know, him being out certainly is not good. I thought he was pretty stable when he was in, but it's going to be a while with that broken finger. But so anyway, it's to your point. This adds up to what we're seeing now where, you know, there are defensive breakdowns, and though I like the goaltending that Joseph Woll has provided, there's still times where you think, okay, well, maybe we could have had a save there. It doesn't happen too often. I think he had a good week last week for the most part. At least still did get 5 of 6 points. But, you know, maybe if a save or two is made over a couple of games, then perhaps the Leafs do win in regulation by a goal, right? And we're looking at this a little bit differently. But as five-man units, it's just not overly solid. And, you know, Morgan Rielly is the guy back there who is your puck moving defenseman, and you need a few of those people who can do it well on a team with the type of talent that these forwards have. And right now, the Maple Leafs just don't have that. So, as you and I have talked about a lot in the past, Jim, it's on Brad Treliving to get that sort of player. You know, how easy that will be, what we're going to find out in the next few months. I don't think it will be. But yeah, it's you're thinking they're going to come out of this. But again, when is that going to be? And maybe something starts on Thursday in Ottawa against the Senators team that is not very good. But again, there's no guarantees right now with this Leafs club, that's for sure.
Yeah, totally agree. I think we're like right on the edge and a couple of bits of analysis. So I'm just going to put them out as storylines. I think going into the Saturday's game, and Domi, of course, answered with a goal, but I think there was a lot of concern about the offseason ads in terms of, you know, have they worked out? Bertuzzi, I don't know. Domi, I don't think so. Reeves, no. Klingberg, no. I mean, it doesn't add up, does it?
Well, Jim, you know what? When of those offseason additions, when you put them all in a basket and you pull out Noah Gregor as the guy that might have had the biggest impact, that's not what you want to hear. And that's not a knock on Gregor. I mean, I think he's been really good for them, supplied some energy from that fourth line, a bit of a scoring touch. But, you know, it's just, what went out and what came in were two different sorts of hockey player, both on the blue line and at forward. You know, on the blue line, you lose Jam, of course, and Luke Shen, and he wasn't here with the Leafs for long, but he brought an element they didn't have. Klingberg clearly, obviously, doesn't replace that. Not that anybody was expecting him to, but the Leafs just didn't replace that as a whole. Up front, you know, the Leafs made a good penalty killer out of Alex Kerfoot. You know, he brought that sensibility. Michael Bunting brought a bit more on that top line or in the top six, really, than Tyler Bertuzzi has. a little bit more speed, I think, in that area, and certainly, you know, still brought the willingness to get his nose dirty around the net. But O'Reilly's, Achari's, again, guys who joined the team later in the season, but you saw what they could bring, and the Leafs just haven't replaced that. And these guys that we mentioned, you know, Domi finally scoring the first goal, you know, it's a nice story for about 5 seconds. And even, you know, Domi is a pretty honest kid. And he said after, I shouldn't even say kid, he's getting up there in his late 20s now, but after it's kind of irrelevant when we don't win. And, you know, I don't know if that's pretty hard on it, but, you know, the fact is one goal in 20 plus games here, you know, Bertuzzi's not filling the net either. And Ryan Reeves, I mean, you know, the talk going into this game, Jim, against the top team in the Atlantic Division and the Boston Bruins, and whether there might be any redemption for what happened to Timothy Liljegren. Well, I had big doubts about that going in, because these things never, you know, meet the talk that's happening beforehand. And Ryan Reeves doesn't get on the ice after the midway point of the second in a tight hockey game. So what does that tell you? I mean, it's happened before. Yeah. He's been a healthy scratch. We know that. All the while, Sam Lafferty is out in Vancouver doing good things for the Canucks. And yep. That's got to hurt, because that was the move that was made. You know, whether they're directly linked, they aren't. But, you know, that's the move that's made to make sure that money's under the cap to pay Ryan Reeves. For not only this year, but the next 2 years, which is awfully tough to digest if you're a Leafs fan. So, no, they haven't. And they haven't. The thing is, too, that there hasn't been the snot that Brad Treliving had hoped there would be out of these guys. That's just a matter of fact. Just hasn't been there. And when they're not doing the other things well that you want them to do, I know Keith yesterday was lauding Bertuzzi and that and some of his play, but you know, why aren't these things showing up on the score sheet then and helping the Leafs win hockey games? That's the question.
Well, I think probably the ultimate statement for all of that, of what we've just said over the last 3.5 minutes, is where the roster is now. You're expecting Kyle Dubas-like acquisitions of the three forwards and three defensemen to add to this. And I don't know that they have the parts to move out.
Well, you don't. And the other thing is, too, is, you know, say Treliving gets the defenseman you want. Say he gets Chris Tanev, Jim, or he got Nikita Zadorov. Well, how does that make the what the forwards are doing any better and their impacts on the game? It really doesn't. I mean, it shores up your blue line a bit. Zadorov would have been a depth guy. Tanev, I think, would be better than that. But we're not talking about one or two pieces now putting the Leafs in a very opposite direction of where they are, which is winning a lot of hockey games in regulation by a couple of goals, and then, you know, being a legitimate contender next spring. You still have to address somehow the fact that, you know, some of these people aren't getting it done up front, and I don't know how you do that. You know, are guys like Matthew Knies or Nick Robertson, I think, has been fine to Leafs in 11 games on the table. Well, guess what? If you want to add something, you have to move something. It's certainly the Leafs case where, you know, the money is an issue, and, you know, the Flames couldn't do a deal with them because they didn't want to retain salary and it's a Zadorov deal. Well, if other GMs are going to be like that, Brad Treliving, then they're really stuck, and that's all there is to it. And you go with what you got right now, and this is what it is. I mean, you know, there aren't, you have the injuries on the blue line, Jim, but you don't have any really at forward, and this is what you have up front. You know, I don't know that anyone really come up right now and help from the Marlies. You know, Alex Steeves might get in for a game or two and see what he could do, but you're not, like I said, one guy is going to send the group the other way. It's got to come from within, but maybe we're seeing now 20 plus games in that this is, like I said earlier, this is what they are. And so I don't know. It's a tricky situation, but, you know, with the log jam in the East, you know, the one thing that is good, you know, these points are, single points are helping the Leafs. They are getting before they get the OT and the shootout. And like I said, they're 7-3, so that helps as well. But this is what they are, Jim. Yeah, there's not a blockbuster coming. There's not a big trade coming for a stud defenseman. There's not one coming for that's really going to help you up front. I mean, the Leafs kicked the tires on Patrick Kane, and we could argue about what he might have brought anyway. But we know he's not coming here, and that's not really the player the Leafs need. But no, this is who they are, and this is what you've got. Period.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the surprising part of it is and I don't know what the word is, because they've had some great moments, but the Fab Four up front have struggled at times. Yeah. And I think that's problematic, because I don't think we've ever seen that before.
No, we haven't. Certainly not at the same time. And, you know, it's a, what a funny week it was last week, right? You've got Noah Gregor who scores, you know, one goal for the Leafs and then the shootout winner. And then, you know, a few nights later, you have Austin Matthews coming, like, so in that game, your top four doesn't make a difference. Then a few nights later, Austin Matthews and probably, you know, what could be termed the Leafs' potentially most difficult game of the year, probably has his best game of the year. Yeah. And is excellent for them. You're looking at going, okay, Austin, this is what Sheldon Keefe and the staff need and want from you on a nightly basis. And this is why you're paid to do these things on a nightly basis, because you're paid answering. You can do these things on a nightly basis. So we know that that's there. Mitch Marner's game has been off for the most part. I know he had the hat trick earlier in the week and looked good doing so, but there hasn't been a consistency. And now, you know, William Nylander has gone quiet. For the most part, after that 17-game run to start, and John Tavares is in a rut as well. So it's interesting. But again, you know, some of the players that moved out, there was, you know, they were providing things below these guys that helped when they came over, the top guys came over the boards. And like I said, the Leafs aren't necessarily getting that now. I do like the third line, Jim. I think that the Domi, Yarncroke, Robertson line certainly has potential. The trio hasn't been super in the past little while, but together, but I think there's something there. I like what Domi's done at center overall, given what we said before. But yeah, the top four have to lead the way. And what are we talking about? What are we talking about off the top? Five regulation wins. So yep. That tells me that that's not happening. Now, listen, there are a lot of factors here for the Leafs record, but that's, you're not getting that type of on-ice leadership from that group that you need.
Well, I guess we could sum it up by, you know, last year they loaded up and got through the first round, but I like the roster. You can't always maintain that with their salary cap problems. And so you might have a dip every once in a while, and maybe this is the dip.
Yeah, it could be the dip, but then if we're saying this is the dip, then that implies they come out of it and rise on the other side. And when would that be? And how would that look? I can't tell you that right now, Jim.
No. You know? Well, they'd have to make some roster additions, but as we discussed, I don't think they have enough to send out to get back.
No. Yeah, they don't. Now, I think for Keith, though, and the staff, we, you know, there should be some optimism that we know that I think there is the potential there to turn it around, because I think once that group of four gets going, and if they're all on the same page together, you know, these line changes do eventually lead to things. They can be really good. We've seen that. They've been excellent in the past. But, you know, the fact that we're talking about it and whether it might not happen in the first week of December, you know, sends up little red flags, I think.
Yeah, and we're left with the five regulation wins, a lot of blown leads, and some rallies. So, I mean, we just haven't had the full look. It's always been something.
Yeah, and like I said, we're talking about team identity. You know what you're getting with the Bruins coming in. I mean, you know, they lose Bergeron, they lose Krejci to retirement, and the Bruins might be an extreme example, Jim, because they just do things so well, but. You know, they just keep rolling. Brad Marchand gets the C on his sweater. He knows he drives a lot of people crazy, but he's a unique and excellent hockey player, and they have not really missed a beat. They're getting great goaltending, and Jeremy Swayman and Linus Ullmark have been excellent for them. Yeah. But that's the standard that you want to meet. But then, you know, you look further down a bit, and, you know, Detroit continues to make noise, and they don't seem to be going away. The Florida Panthers, you talk about teams, okay, what can you take from your – playoff experience, and really, I guess, comparing what the Leafs did last year with the Florida Panthers that are apples and oranges, because Florida went all the way to the final. Yeah. But Panthers, you know, got through weathered the issues that they might have had with Aaron Ekblad and Brandon Montour out in the blue line the first couple of months, and their heads are held above water, and they're doing good things in the Atlantic Division. So they've been able to move on, and I guess, you know, much of that roster is the same, but from the team that went all the way, but their players have led the way that have had to. Sam Reinhart's having a hell of a year. I get that. But we're not seeing that in Toronto. And, you know, Keith doesn't like talking about it too much, but this regulation win thing will keep coming up as long as the Leafs don't get them. And it's legitimate. It's, I don't know. It's, you know, I'm not really sure where they go from here. You know, maybe this, something will come out of this week where it's an odd one where they get three practice days. They're off today on Monday and, you know, back on the ice Tuesday, Wednesday. But, you know, you say, Jim, something has to change or should change. But like I've said, team identity, this could be what they are, a team that can fall behind and come back, a team that can have a two-goal lead and not hold on to it and wind up losing. It's not good, of course, but, you know, perhaps it's
yeah. Well, look, I you know, you're talking about Boston and Florida. Those teams, you could easily tell me how they play. They have a system, and, yes. and that's what we're not seeing with the Leafs is any kind of system.
Yeah, and, you know, it's the longer it goes, you can't just say, okay, well, we made these changes and it's taking the new guys all this time to get used to it. They're NHL hockey players. They're not people who are learning the sport for the first time. It's not like the Leafs are doing anything revolutionary, you know, and overly different from a lot of teams. You know, the fact that they've come in and haven't made those impacts, this isn't about now being new with the team. I mean, they're all comfortable with their new teammates. They're comfortable off the ice, Jim. And it's still not happening that way. But you look at those teams and you know what you're getting. Like Boston, you know what you're getting. You walk into that dressing room, you know what you're getting. The Florida Panthers, like you mentioned, you know what you're getting. There's no doubt about it. When the Tampa Bay Lightning were doing what they were doing, and they've fallen off here a bit. When they were winning Stanley Cups, you knew the type of team that you're getting in them. But, you know, it's too bad it didn't work out for the Leafs last spring to a greater degree, because I did like a lot of those moves that Kyle Dubas had made.
Yeah.
But now you are hitting reset in a way, Jim. I know the core four is the same, but you have a new general manager and a different philosophy. You hit that button to a degree, and we're seeing that, you know, perhaps it wasn't pressed hard enough or pressed in a different way, because it's just you're not comfortable watching the Leafs right now.
No, that's the best way to sum it up. Terry, yeah. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Jim.
Last minute of play in this podcast.
Thank you, Mike Ross, for the time. Warning time now for a lickety split. Yes, guy, no guy on the way out. Yes, guy, no guy number one. Moves have to be made. Oh, yes, guy. I don't know exactly when. I don't know exactly how. I don't know exactly what the price is, but something has to happen here. It's pretty clear. Yes, guy. Yes, guy, no guy number two. Too much depends on the goaltending of Joseph Woll. Well, I'm going to say yes, guy, to that. Remember, this is his first full season. He's going to have growing pains. If you're going to put it all on him, that is the wrong move. So, yes, guy, too much depends on goaltender Woll. And we'll go out on this. Yes, guy, no guy, number three. 5 regulation wins to this point in the season is a big problem. Oh, yes, guy, it is. You can go back to it's not hurting them in the standings, but 5 regulation wins? Are you kidding me? Yes, guy, this is a concern. Thanks for joining us on Leafs Guy episode 136. Hope you come back next week for episode 137.